From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, will Congress accomplish anything before leaving Washington for the month of August? Believe it or not, the answer may be yes.
But first, to eastern Ukraine, where for a third day in a row, heavy fighting has prevented a team of Dutch and Australian forensic experts from doing their work at the site of downed Malaysia Airlines Flight 17. Also today, Ukrainian officials said that data from the plane's black boxes show it was destroyed by shrapnel from a missile. And yesterday, U.S. officials released satellite images they say show that rockets have been fired from Russia into Ukraine. Joining us by Skype from Ukraine is The Wall Street Journal's Paul Sani. And Paul, how bad is this fighting that these inspectors can't get in?
The fighting is bad. What we're seeing now is the Ukrainian troops are making a push to essentially take control of what is the crash site, which effectively would wall off Donetsk, which is one of the main rebel strongholds where I am now, from both the Russian border and from other rebel groups in neighboring Lugansk, which is the other main region that has a separatist rebellion. So the villages where Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 fell have seen the war come to them, really for the first time.
Well, it literally came to them. We're reading horrendous reports. One victim of the plane downing crashed through the roof of a woman's home and was in her kitchen for days. I mean, just terrible stories. But while the forensic investigators can't get there, you write a heartbreaking story about the parents of a 25-year-old engineering grad student who could get to the scene of the plane crash. They traveled from Australia, reached the site on Saturday. We want to talk about who their daughter was, but how did they get there?
Yeah, well, they took a circuitous route. They came from Perth, Australia. They initially flew to Europe through Holland, where they gave their DNA to Dutch investigators with the hopes of eventually retrieving their daughter's remains or their daughter's body, and they're doing that DNA matching now in the Netherlands. And then they drove into the conflict zone. And, you know, they were very, very lucky in a sense in terms of reaching the conflict site because they actually were there on the last day when anyone was able to go before the fighting sort of encroached around that area.
No, well, heartbreaking. They are trained scientists. Their daughter was an aerospace engineering grad student at the Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands. She'd given TEDx talks. Just tell us a little bit about what happened for them there.
Yeah, they're a really sweet family, actually, and they're kind of this family of dreamers who really respect science and really respects technology, but also they're also into homeopathic medicine. And so their daughter was very much like that as well. She was, as you said, an engineering, aerospace engineering graduate student. And one of the things that she was working on is she had started her own company on the side where she was trying to create a system whereby nano satellites, so small satellites in space, each person on Earth would have one, and the nano satellite would be able to communicate information to people on Earth and also warn them if they were near emergencies. Yeah. So as some of her friends said, it's very sad that the system wasn't already in place before she got on the plane. She had studied how airplanes work, how they can disintegrate, how structural disintegration of aircraft, and, you know, had even discussed with her parents how to escape from a plane.
Well, given that, you say that one of the reasons the parents went to the site is they thought maybe she could have survived. Maybe she was in a coma on the ground.
Yeah, so I think the way that the Dushinskys described it to us was that they received news of the plane being downed, and they immediately turned to the news and saw all of these images of chaos and you know, no Red Cross on the scene, not a lot of experts on the scene. And, you know, like any parent, you know, you always hold out hope that somehow where she was sitting helped her live, or, you know, the fact that she knew something about airplanes and, you know, was very ready for this, that she somehow, something could have happened and she could be the exception. And, you know, if she was, given the chaos and given the fact that no one was really tending to the site, would anyone have even found her or, you know, and paid attention to her?
Well, it's just heartbreaking. But it also, I mean, it raises questions. Of course, these people should be allowed to go to the site where their child we know has died. But how does that compromise the site that people are just walking through it?
Well, by the time they got to the site, thousands of people had walked through it. You know, and it hasn't been roped off or cordoned off. No part of it has been cordoned off from day one. It encompasses three different villages. A lot of the pieces of the plane and bodies fell on places where people live, and so it certainly couldn't have been cordoned off. And now it's in the middle of a war.
The Wall Street Journal's Paul Sani in Donetsk in Ukraine. Paul, thank you.
Thanks.